Morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 538 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. We'd like to welcome you back. Good morning, everybody. How you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing good. I got a nap before the show, which is a rarity. Now I'm like thrown off. Everything's being done last minute.
You have such glow this morning. Look at you.
Maybe it's the bad lighting, the good lighting, depending on where I put my head.
Well, I was going to make a joke as we were getting ready. You're typing, you're getting the show ready. And when you do that, your head's tilted down.
It did, yeah.
And I keep getting that glare off the top of your head.
You mean like this?
Exactly like that. And you have a glow, Mike.
It might be that strong-ass coffee I make.
You know what?
Adding to the hypertension.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. Derpy, how you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing great. I met Dexter Lawrence yesterday, even though you may not know it.
Who's up?
Through 2K.
Dexter Lawrence, who is he? He plays football, right?
Yeah, he plays for the Giants.
That's what I thought.
You met him and he didn't know that you met him, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I was just online on NBA 2K.
Oh, so you played online with him?
No, I just saw him in my lobby, and I just said I met him.
Oh, okay. Oh, you didn't say hi?
No, I couldn't. I couldn't.
You didn't proposition him for any of his pubes, Derpy?
No. No, I did not.
All right.
Derpy, you should have said, hey, what's up, man? You know, I'm from the Two Dumb Yinzers podcast. If you ever want to come on, talk sports. Now, come on,
you may recognize me if you ever see a panda bear walking around town. yeah. Good morning, everybody. 538. Here it is, episode 538, guys. This is the big week. We are in draft week, 56 hours, 35 minutes, and 1 second away from the NFL draft. I couldn't be more excited, guys. This is like it's like Christmas week.
Yes.
Yeah, the excitement this time, we know in a couple of days, we're going to have new players on our football team, guys that are going to hopefully make this team better. We're going to improve a little bit and see what these Steelers can do. Guys, we will talk draft. We have quite a few things to go over today. I want to start off by talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They announced their new class, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame did yesterday. And this is the class that is going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. Which is one of the things in Cleveland I do like.
Yeah.
The everyone that's in it so far, or everyone that's going to the Hall this year, is Mary J. Blige. Well-deserved. Cher. I can't believe Cher's not already in it just because,
right?
You know, she goes way back into the day. Foreigner, the group Foreigner. Some may be a fan of them. Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy's in this class, which I'll get back to him in a second. And Tribe Called Quest, one of my favorite rap groups from the 90s.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Tribe. But let me go back to Ozzy for a second. I got to be honest, guys. Back in 2004, when they started the show, The Osbournes, I was pretty sure that Ozzy Osbourne would not be alive in 2024.
Yeah.
And let alone being able to accept a Hall of Fame. It's very, very strange to me that for a couple of reasons, Mike, you did mention this before the show to me that he was already in the Hall of Fame with Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going to say that was going to be the surprise, the fact that Ozzy isn't in the Hall of Fame already, but that makes sense. So,
yeah, that's what you said, Ozzy. I'm like, wait a second. Cause I remember when Black Sabbath went in, cause Metallica played, you know, they're the ones who introduced them and played their songs in when they went in. I was like, Ozzy was there. Right. But then I thought about it, solo act.
He truly is the Prince of Darkness. He's going to outlive us all.
He is.
Ozzy Osbourne is going to outlive us all. Even you, Derpy.
The key to life, apparently, was to do the drugs that him and Keith Richards did in the 60s and 70s.
He snorted a line of fire ants. That's just one single occasion with Ozzy Osbourne. Can you imagine what the shit this dude did in his life?
You know what?
Snorted a line of fire ants.
Dude, drugs were different back in the day. Because those guys, if they did the same amount of drugs they did back then that they did today, they would die.
But there you go, guys. Ozzy is entering the Hall of Fame. Again, 2004 when the Osbournes came on and
I thought he was going to be dead within 5 years.
Bumbling and stumbling around everywhere and running into shit and just totally oblivious.
Yeah. Do you think that was all an act on his part?
No.
Or you think he was all messed up at that
Well, I
point?
think
Like,
that the, yeah, I think some of it was an act, but I don't think the overall product was. I think that he played into it, but I think he's pretty out there, and then like I said, it's wild because here he is, 20 years later after 2004. I did never ever 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 would have thought that he would be alive now to do this, but good for him. Congratulations to the class of 2024 going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame again. Mary J. Blige, Cher, Foreigner, Ozzy Osbourne, and Tribe Called Quest. Five that I could say that I, sometimes you see one of these groups of people or a person you're not too familiar. I could say I'm familiar with all those, so that's pretty awesome. That is your class of 24.
There's none that I could really say, they don't deserve it.
Right. And like I said, I think that Cher should have already been in
Oh,
there.
yeah. Like, I don't know why she wasn't in already.
I did want to talk about these Pirates, Mike, before we get started on the draft talk. Of course, the Pirates, they had their first divisional game yesterday of the season. They just come off that six-game slide. They dropped two straight sweeps, one to the Mets, one to the Red Sox. They finally they're at home. They get the Brewers, who I thought was going to be a total disaster. I'm not going to lie. I thought that this Brewers game, and it's still early. We have three more games against these guys. It's a four-game set. But you know what? We went out there. A couple of the guys that you mentioned yesterday on the show, Mike, that had to step up, they stepped up and handled business. Let's go over some numbers here. Of course, Jared Jones threw six innings. He had gave up four hits, one earned run, two walks, and they had seven Ks. Now, Jared Jones is the fourth pitcher to strike out at least seven hitters in each of his first five career starts since 1893. Only three other people of all the pitchers you see every year, year in, year out, it must be in the tens of thousands. Only three other people have done it. It was a gentleman for the Yankees in 2014. Tanaka did it. Steven Strasburg did it in 2010 with the Washington Nationals. And of course, Jose De Leon in 1983 with the Pittsburgh Pirates. So he's the second Pirate ever of the four only people to ever, ever throw seven, at least seven strikeouts in his five first career starts in the MLB. Pretty awesome. I'm really liking this dude. If you keep getting this kind of production out of him, and of course, you're going to have your dips during the season. We know this.
It's gonna happen.
But then you get Paul Skeens up. And that takes a little pressure off a guy like Mitch Keller, who's your ace. There's a lot of pressure on him. So you bring Skeens up. He starts doing some of what he does. Jared Jones has really shown no signs of not doing what he does so far. Mitch Keller, like I said, he gets that support now. And then if you could just get a couple of these other guys, and don't get me wrong, I think the rotation's doing fantastic. We have a little bit of an injury issue at the end of the rotation, but guys, once Skeens gets ready to come up and they start moving things in that direction, it might they might be able to hang in there this year, Mike.
They might. Like Jones, like you said, he's not, he's pitching well. It's going to go up and down. But you know how in the spring training, you're saying how a Skeens looks like a bulldog?
Yeah.
Jones is looking like a bulldog, too.
Yeah.
You have those two at the top of your rotation. They're not going to let a bad performance affect them the way some pitchers will.
Paul
And
Skeens still hasn't even let up a run yet.
you get those two going. You're not going to have a bad, they're not going to have back-to-back bad outings. Jones is going to go out and pitch a stinker, and Skeens come in and pitch a stinker. No, like they will step up when needed. If the pitching staff's going down, not playing well, those two look like they have the mentality of our start is going to be the one that stops it. And Jones did. He came in and he's like, I have to pitch a gem because the offense is doing well, and I'm going to do that. And he did. And that's impressive for a young pitcher. And he's starting to get more and more at bats against him, and people are building the book on him, and he's doing well to adapt to it. And he's not letting that affect him. He's had what, four starts by now? This is when
Five.
the league will start to figure out at this point, and he's showing no signs of slowing down. And that's what's impressive is he's going through the lineups multiple times. He's four start, fifth start in, and he's still surprising people at the plate. So this kid is legit. He can be a legit number one, and schemes in him, two number ones at the top of your rotation, look out.
And drop your former, you're already number one to number three.
That's where he needs to be. And you look at that. You have the startings of a professional or rotation.
You're right. Looks like a baseball team.
It looks like a baseball team.
Jared Jones, check out these numbers, guys. This is through five games so far. That is every game he's pitched so far in the majors. He's pitched 29 innings. He has a 2.79 ERA, 39 strikeouts, which is second in the majors. He's only given up four walks.
Wow.
And finally, the opponent's batting average when facing Jared Jones is a collective 181.
That's like the walks and like ERA. That's impressive right there.
And this
and
the numbers
huge.
And the numbers he have, they're almost Paul Skeens dwarfs his numbers. Yeah, he is in Triple A, but you know, that just gives you the idea that these two guys, you know, the only thing that I fear, Mike, is this guy continues to have a great career here and do very well in his season, and and he ends up on a New York Yankee roster next fall, winning the World Series or some crazy shit. That's you know,
that's what I'm worried about. But right now, let's just enjoy it while we can.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah.
Mike
he has
also
given up five home runs, though. Just don't notice that. One a game.
He's giving home, home runs. I don't understand what that's about. He gave him more home runs than he gave up walks.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll take, you know what? He's averaging 12.1 strikeouts per nine innings. I'll take that.
Yeah.
If that means I give up one home run a game.
So the Pirates, they did get back up above 500. They got their head above water. They're now 12-11. The Brewers dropped to 14-7. The Pirates went 4-2. A game in which the Pirates have nine hits and the Brewers only get five hits. But check this out, Mike. In a game where you're facing the starter, Jared Jones, and then they go to the bullpen and you're facing Colin Holderman, and then Aroldis Chapman, and then Hunter Stratton, and then David Bednar, you're not going to have many successful games facing that lineup of pitchers throughout the game. Of course, the line on Jones was six-inning pitch again. Four hits, one earned run, two walks. Two of his walks were yesterday in seven Ks.
Well, he's struggling. Send him down.
Right? Colin Holderman, he had a strikeout. David Bednar gave up a hit, and he had a strikeout. Aroldis Chapman now, guys. He's back from his, his suspension. He appealed. Mm-hmm. I think he got it shortened. He came in, gave up one earned run and three walks.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned about Chapman at this point. You know, he's a veteran. I'm sure he'll overcome. I'm sure he'll figure it out. But as again, you know, you face these pitchers, Jones, Holderman, Chapman, Stratton, Bednar. That's a pretty good group of guys. In the odd man out, the guy that was the least successful was Chapman, again, with one earned run and three walks. So, you know, he gets his shit back together. I just don't, you know, they can't be too far off of where they were a couple weeks ago. They can't be. They're the same guys.
Yeah.
They just got to figure out what the hell's going on and fix it.
Yeah, like everyone's hitting their slump, and it's like they all hit it at the same time.
You're right.
And hopefully they're all starting to come out of it at the same time. Like we saw with Kutch and we saw with O'Neal Cruz. Looks like they are battling through it. They were productive at the plate. Still that, you know, one productive day doesn't erase the last couple of games, last couple of weeks of the way they were playing. But it's nice to see that, okay, against the first place team, the team that we struggled against, they came out, they stepped up and did what needed to be done. That's an encouraging sign.
Absolutely.
That's what you like to see from your leaders and from your star players.
And Mike, you did mention Kutch and O'Neal Cruz yesterday. These two gentlemen both had three hits. That's right. Three hits. Andrew McCutchen starts off the game with a home run, a leadoff home run. They had him batting leadoff. Three pitches into the bat. He takes it deep to center field. He has three hits on the day, one RBI, one run, and one homer, of course. And O'Neal Cruz had three hits and two RBIs. So those are the two guys on offense that you did mention by name yesterday, Mike.
Yep.
Also, the other guys with hits were Key Brian Hayes, Connor Joe, and Aleke Williams. All three of them gentlemen all had one hit. So, you got the Brewers today. You got game two. The probable matchup is the Brewers they're still to be determined. I've looked on about three different sites. They're not releasing who's starting for them at this point, at least.
Yeah, no, I'm on MLB right now. They don't have anyone up.
And for the Pirates, Bailey Falter is going to be taking the hill. Left-hander, he's 1-1 with a 4.05 and 10 Ks on the season. He hasn't pitched bad, with the exception of that first game where he gave up 5 runs in the first inning. So let's say he can hold it together. We could we could win. If you win the second game, then you start feeling a little bit more confident. You're okay. Maybe we're piecing it back together.
You get a split out of this series, that's huge. Like we said, man, this is a team we've struggled against, and to get a split out of them, I will take that.
In the series, about the division plays out like this, Mike, as of right now, Brewers are at top. Second place is the Cubs. They're 1.5 back. The Reds are 2.5 back. The Bucks, by winning yesterday, are only 3 back, where they were 4 back yesterday. And the Cardinals are 5 games back. So, Mike, as you said, by the end of the day, let's just say they win. Let's say they win tonight. They're sitting 2 back already. So these are very important games. Again, first divisional series of the season. The Pirates are off to a good start. They win 4-2 yesterday against Milwaukee. Again, Pirates out hit them 9-5. I'm sorry. Also in the box, the Brewers did have an error as well. So, game tonight, game 2 of 4 will be at 6:40. Could check out the Pirates, try to make their way back and get back on track, man. And they gave themselves that wiggle room. They started out 9-2, and you're like, okay, this is what you need to do, as you mentioned frequently early on. You got to stack them wins early. And that's what they did, and they took a losing streak, and they're still in it. They're 3 games out of first place, playing the first place Brewers, and they're game over 500. So it could be a lot worse.
Could be a lot worse. Could have been. It could be a little bit better. But you know what? If oh God, if they sweep them, man, first place again.
Unless the Cubs and Reds sweep out too, then they'll still be ahead of us. But
But still, first, second place,
yeah.
take that the way, the way we had that what six or what 9-2 stretch or whatever, or 2-9 stretch. I'll take a sweep out of this series gladly, or even split. Like I said, I'll take a split over Milwaukee. That would be huge. And I do like to say, like, all the media shills that were laughing at people saying, oh, you might have to sit Cutch down or Cruz down. Oh, look, they had one good game. That was one good game. I'll give them credit for what they did yesterday. They stepped up. They did what they needed to do. Can they keep that going forward? Can they string 4 or 5, 6 games in a row of hot hitting after 6, 7, 8 games of cool hitting?
And the thing about it's unfortunate is you shouldn't have to rely on Andrew McCutchen every night.
Exactly. He's a luxury piece to have.
You're right.
He shouldn't be out there every day in the DH. He's like 55 years old out there, it feels like.
Yasmani Grandal, of course, the catcher that we did pick up in the offseason. He played in his first assignment game yesterday in the minors, and he did hit a home run. So
There we
that's
go.
encouraging. We have another catcher. Maybe he could teach Henry Davis how to hit this year.
Right? Come on. Hammer and Hank, get it together, because his handling of the pitching staff was coming along. His defense was, well, defense was coming along, but we can't throw anyone out. But no pass balls that I can remember. He can get his hitting going. That's another. That'd be a
I think once
huge
it warms
piece.
up, not just us, it'll be everybody, but I think once it warms up, you're going to see a lot of these guys starting to hit
Hit
better.
again,
I
yeah.
mean, it's
You
cold. It's
hope.
cold in Pittsburgh. I mean, this is baseball for crying out loud.
Hopefully, he can get turn it around. He looks like the guy too that has that demeanor of he's not going to get down on himself too much.
Yeah,
I hope he can figure it
he's
out.
very into tape. He's very into studying the game. He knows what he's doing. He's just got to, and he got to this point being as being what he is. So I think he'll be all right, guys. Hopefully he'll be all right.
Hopefully.
The jerseys, this is important to me. The white jerseys, guys, the Pirates are 3-2, and their black jerseys, they're 6-3, and their gray jerseys, they're 3-4, and their black jerseys with the P, 0-1, and in their yellow City Connect jerseys, 0-1. So this all fell into this in under the 6-game losing streak, a lot of these losses. But
You went more in depth in the breakdown of this jersey than PFF does in their stats.
that's right.
So, give you credit.
Right, baby. But there you have it, guys. The Pirates back in it seems to be. However, it is only April 24th, I think, I
Yeah,
believe.
23rd, 23rd.
23rd.
Do I dare say it?
Go ahead, Derpy.
Say it, Derpy.
162.
There we go.
It's like the I don't know if you guys ever seen that episode of The Simpsons where he split his pants. Ever seen that? And every time he did it, every time he said "I split my pants," everyone started laughing.
Say the line.
Say the line, Derpy. Yeah, that's every time I. That's what I think of every time we do that to him. Pirates. So there you go, guys. They are back at it tonight, 6:40, game 2 of 4. Let me get into. I'm going to skip around, guys, and get to football last.
Yeah.
Just because that's going to bleed into our draft talk. In the NHL, after night one, for only the fifth time in NHL history, the home teams won all the games after the first six games. Derpy, this is only the fifth time in NHL history that the home teams were 6-0 after the first six NHL playoff games were played. Fifth time ever. That seems kind of odd.
Yeah, you thought it would happen.
That is odd.
You know, home ice advantage. I mean, come on.
Yeah, everyone talks about how important home ice is, but you would think there'd be more, you know, more times that would happen where the home team has swept opening night.
Right. Or at least just won the first game.
Yeah.
Also, Mike, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds back in action after getting their first win of the season. Last week, they traveled to Detroit City to play Detroit City FC. That game is on Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. But also at Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m., the Pittsburgh Passion. That's right,
yes.
Mike, our women's football team. They're kicking off the season against Alabama, the Alabama Fire. You remember them from last year?
Yep.
Saturday evening, the Pittsburgh Passion kick off the Women's Football League season. And then after that, they come home next weekend to open up at home versus the DC Divas. That's going to be at Pine Ridge High School. So the women are back starting this weekend, guys.
I can't wait. We followed them all last year? We followed them along on their ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, hopefully they do well this year.
Yeah. And then they just kept running into that New England team last year.
Yeah, right.
What is it with New England teams in Pittsburgh?
I just hate them.
Just can't beat them.
Caitlin Clark, guys. Caitlin Clark and Nike has agreed to a deal. 8-year, $28 million
Ooh.
Nike deal.
Ooh.
8-year, $28 million, guys. So,
not bad.
She's not exactly Paul McCartney, but you know what? $28 million ain't a bad start. 8 years.
That's $3.5 million a year.
So there you go.
Ooh. Yeah. She ain't gonna be hurting for cash.
Plus, she's gonna be drawing people into that WNBA.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you they do better briefly. I think there's gonna be a bump.
Yeah, there's gonna be a bump, and hopefully, like you'll see it bump, drop down, and level off.
Yeah, right.
But I think that level off is gonna be higher than the baseline when she came in, and then that's how you build your sport. You get the, and then if she keeps playing well and starts, and if she can be like the one of the best rookies in that league ever, that's gonna. You know, that can help too. That more eyes.
You know, and the thing about somebody like Caitlin Clark, you know, and I've said this, you got to get some of these personalities. You have to get to know these people. As in wrestling, if you sit there at a wrestling event, the WWE or whatnot, it's very boring because you're not listening to what the announcers are saying as they're building the storyline, as they're walking you through the storyline.
Yeah,
you're watching the matches, and it's kind of boring. There's no sound. There's nothing to go by. The announcers play such a big part in sports. They really do. And it's not just wrestling. They have to paint the picture for you.
I think calling Penguin games.
And I think once you do that in the WNBA, you're not going to need such an exceptional star like Caitlin Clark, who scored more points than anybody in the history of college basketball. You're going to be able to then, you know, just get the top group of girls, ladies, I'm sorry, talk them up, build a storyline. Get people familiar with them, and people will be interested. Again, you know, Caitlin Clark's an exception. Nobody scored this many points ever in the history of college basketball, but you can't depend on somebody like her to come along every so often to spike your sport. You got to build that. You know, it's the me. You have to build that.
Yeah.
And if you just sit there and hope for this league to succeed, it's not going to happen. Again, wrestling without the announcers in pro wrestling, it's not the same.
Yeah. It, like personalities too. You hope someone like Angel Reese can come in and have a good rookie year too, because people like the feud that they have. And then
Absolutely.
that draft class coming in behind them with Paige Buckner, Juju Watkins, and there's a couple other women behind them too. So hopefully you get a couple good classes like this that, and these women, they know how to use social media to draw in their fans, to draw in their followers, and hopefully they'll follow them not just from online, but into the arena, or into at least on TV to watch them to boost their the ratings on TV.
And add fuel to the fire that is the gals that got drafted by Chicago and Caitlin Clark in
Yep.
Indiana. You know, make that a rivalry.
Yeah.
Indiana and Chicago. Make, you know, you know,
Yeah,
like
I
I
don't know
said.
like what conference, how their conferences and divisions go, but my God, if they're lined up like that, that would be great.
You know, because you could almost play the Chicago team like the super villain team.
Yeah.
You know, and you got the princess. You know,
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
you know,
Yeah.
you could
Yeah,
totally
that's how
did
you
that.
have to do it. Yeah. Kind of
And
like,
then
you
you
know, like bird magic, you know, it's
and then
you.
once you do that, then you let it work itself out organically. But
Yeah.
you got to get in there and manipulate that. And again, as I said, turn your volume off, watch pro wrestling for a month straight,
Yeah.
and you totally understand what the importance is. You don't know the storyline. You have no idea what they're talking about. You don't know what's going on. You know, they have a whole thing going on over there.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, and if you're not listening to the announcers, you have no clue. And you know, and I think that's again, WNBA could do a little bit better in that area. And hopefully they do. Hopefully they
Yeah.
get things together, Mike. I want to see that league of success.
Me too. I think it would be great if they can do it, take it off. You know, it'd be nice to have that another option that's, you know, not just a men's dominated sport that's in the top sports to watch. You know?
All right.
People love basketball, and if it's good, they'll watch.
I'm still curious to see what these with the deal with these tennis shoes are going to be,
Yeah.
because again, you need guys, you need men to buy them too.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing: if you do half of the market, you get the women only.
Yeah.
Only a certain percentage of them are going to buy the shoes.
Yeah.
You need the men's market, so it's going to be.
Yep.
I'm curious to see how they play that. What these shoes are going to look like? Are they going to they going to market them toward men as well? Maybe their own. CC shoe that you know it's his brand, and I don't know, it's going to be
Yeah, they're gonna,
interesting, Mike, to
yeah.
see, because again, you have $8 million with this lady, and you have to give her $28 million, or you have 8 years,
Yeah.
you got to give her $28 million. You got to sell a lot of sneakers
Yeah.
to produce that money,
Yeah, and you see like in Jordans too, people like everyone wears Jordans. You
right,
know, like men, women,
Mike? The
kids.
catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers last night had a Jordan chest protector on. It's a
Yeah.
base, you know, it's baseball.
Yeah.
That's what you got
So
to do. You
yeah.
got to,
Yeah.
yeah.
So hopefully, you know, it works that way. People just, you know, like I said yesterday, man, you like sneakerheads. That's where it will start too. You get your basketball fans, meet your sneakerheads, and then from there it will go down to the general public of that's when you're gonna see like what demo's buying it.
They just can't have one
Yeah.
pair and it's like feminine look, because,
Yeah,
you
like
know,
because you know, guys are like, I don't want to wear nothing but
you
chick's
almost
name
have to
on it.
make it. You almost have to make it the brand,
Yeah.
like Jordan.
Yeah.
You have to
Yeah.
make them buy the brand. You have to make them buy that little symbol, that
Yeah.
Jumpman. That's what they're buying. You
Yeah.
have to come up with a
Yep.
creative way to make that
Yeah.
for everybody.
Yeah, because like the older heads, like they'll be like, I'm not gonna wear a chick shoe. But you got the younger people that are like, we don't care. Well, that's a men's shoe, women's shoe. Does it match my outfit? Do I feel comfortable in it? Do I like the way it looks? I'll buy it. So but that younger demo doesn't have the spending money as the older demo. So it's gonna be interesting to see how they market this from the business side.
And that's what I'm saying. It's going to be very interesting,
Yeah.
because I think that this all goes into if it succeeds or fails.
Yeah.
And then what do you do? What do you do? What do you do if you lay out a plan and it totally
It
shits the
fails.
bed?
That's what's gonna suck. And that's what could set the women's basketball back right there if it
Right.
fails. And if she doesn't live up to the hype. But I think she will live up to the hype.
I mean, the lady can shoot a basketball. There's no two ways about that. I mean, as long as there's somebody in the league that needs someone that's be able to, somebody that can shoot a basketball, I think she's gonna be
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah, and she can play as a facilitator too. That's what people forget too. So it's gonna be fun to watch.
Absolutely, Mike. Derpy, are you gonna buy any? I mean, we don't know what they're gonna look like, but is there a chance that you might buy Caitlin Clark shoes one day? Put on your
If it
hooves.
has the pubes.
Oh, it all comes
I
back to
was
feud with
thinking
you.
that, and I was waiting to see if you would say it, and I'm shocked that you said it, Derby. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you that you said it.
What if they put a pube in every pair, like a in the stitching of every pair of the Caitlin Clark shoes?
AB would buy them out.
Yeah.
Yes, you would.
I'd buy them.
I'd buy them without the pubes. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want anyone else's pubes in my shoes, but my own.
Mike, the nah, let me do this.
Oh, God.
Well, they're in speculation. I mean, they're messing around with these college conferences and stuff like this. I want to see what you think. I came across something, and it's nothing. It's nothing that's holding any water, but it's something that somebody came down. They came up with. The Super League conferences.
I think I saw a variation of this. I wonder if it's the same one.
So in the Northeast, which would be where Pitt and Penn State are,
Yeah.
I like this. If this would in fact be the Northeast Conference, Boston College, Maryland, Rutgers, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Notre Dame, Pitt, and Penn State.
So it would be Pitt, Penn State, Notre Dame
Yeah.
fighting it out with like West Virginia and Bobtech and Maryland right below
I would like that. I dig the shit out of that.
that. Right?
That's what it would be
You're like
football, right?
Pitt would just be chugging along like fuck yeah, Notre Dame and Pitt fucked or Penn State fucked each other up. We got this,
Yeah.
boys.
Would that be football?
That's like I saw that one too. I'm like that would be an interesting conference because really it would be a three team league.
Yeah, I mean, and everything else, a lot of teams, a lot of leagues will stay similar. Your Southeast, which would be basically your ACC, you got Clemson, you got Duke, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina State, North Carolina, Wake Forest. I mean, you add a team like Florida in there. I mean, a lot of conferences will stay the same, but I gotta say, I like how our conference looks the best.
I like that one too. As a Penn State fan, you really only have to worry about Notre Dame and Pitt.
And bring that rival back. I mean, they don't just don't know how
If
much
you
I
can
don't.
finally win, Mike.
The money that they're not making on that game blows my mind.
Hey, Derpy, we've had our fair share of success against Ohio State.
One or
They're
two
always
games.
the well, four or five.
Let me see where Ohio
Fair,
State.
fair.
Hey, we've upset you guys when you should have handedly beat us. And those games are always tough. They're always close until about that end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter. Then, like, that's when just Ohio State's depth just takes over.
Yeah, them are the games that we remember, Mike, but those teams fans don't quite remember them like we
No, they
do.
don't. They don't remember the losses. They just
Yeah.
remember like the heartbreaking losses where, oh, this is where we lost out on a chance to win a national title. They don't
Right.
remember those.
It looks like that division, that conference would be Indiana, Illinois, Louisville, Michigan, Michigan State, Missouri, Northwestern, Purdue, Cincinnati. But like I said, every conference stays basically similar. We would make the biggest changes, and I would dig that, man.
That would
We have
help.
dudes.
That'd help both our schools out.
I you know what I mean? And then Notre Dame, you just never know with them. They'll bounce out of the
They'll either
conference in a
be really
season or
good
two. I
or
mean,
they're either good or bad.
they don't like to be governed. So who knows how long
Oh,
they'd be in the.
they would cry. I love it.
But it has 10 teams in every conference, which is cool. But this it's just it's breaking off of a it's super the Super League because there's a lot of rumors about the college football going to a Super League, so that would be cool. I
That would
dig
be
that.
cool. Like, if it breaks down something like that in the future, I think that would be good. I saw something else too. Someone said people have been talking about, you know what? College football should just become its own minor league for the NFL.
Right.
It just stop with the pretense of, we're affiliated with the university. You still be at the university, but the kids are there for football. They want to take their academic classes. Let them take their academic classes. But it's just here for football and football reasons.
Interesting. Speaking of college football and speaking of Pitt, guys, check this number out, Derpy. Since 2018, Pitt produced 8 DBs in the draft. MJ Devonshire and AJ Woods will make it 10. They'll make it 10 DBs drafted this year in 6 years. 10 DBs out of Pitt into the NFL. Devonshire is expected to be a second round, the third round. AJ Woods is expected to be a third round, a fourth round. And these are the players that the 8 players in the NFL already from Pitt in the last 6 years. Jordan Whitehead, of course, Avonte Maddox, Dane Jackson, Damar Hamlin, Jason Pinnock, Damari Mathis, Eric Hillette, and Brandon Hill. So it's going to be cool. It's definitely turned into a defensive back you, as Penn State is linebacker you. Pitt's turned into a DBU, and I guess Ohio State's just everything else. They're the offense of you.
You need a wide receiver go to
wide
LSU.
Receiver. Yeah.
Yeah, LSU or Ohio State for your receivers.
Yeah. So it's almost here, guys. 56 hours and 57 seconds.
I can't wait.
It's official.
This is like when I become an actual fan of sports again, is the NFL draft. I just, leading up to it, I'm analyzing this, that, everything. What draft day finally comes, I am actually like a fan. This is my Super Bowl.
The Steelers' former cornerback Levi Wallace agrees to a 1-year deal in Denver. We knew that was coming.
Yep.
So you know what? Good. It's all right. We're working on that.
We traded Levi Wallace for Russell Wilson.
Basically.
Yeah.
But in a way, the Denver Broncos basically in a weird kind of way indirectly traded Russell Wilson for Zach Wilson.
Yes, love that. They better change his number to number 3 because they probably have all those Wilson jerseys sitting around that didn't sell.
Yeah.
You don't want to change the number. Just keep the number 3 on there and keep selling them.
So Zach Wilson goes to Denver, looks to be the starter. They trade him for a 6th-round pick. Their quarterback room at the moment looks like this. Zach Wilson, DiNucci, and Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, that's a murderer's row.
You know, I'm curious to see what Zach Wilson brings to the table on a team that's not the Jets. You know, I don't get me wrong. They had weapons, but they're the Jets. I want to see, the Broncos are generally an average team. They're better than the Jets. I want to see him get a chance somewhere else that isn't New York. I guess, hide your mothers if he's
exactly,
around. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think that Zach Wilson may be a decent starter for Denver. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I don't know. He's.
They only have one weapon now, pretty much.
Yeah, they only have one weapon. Like he's shown like flashes here and there, but he's just not consistent. And then that's I think he's just going to be a backup quarterback in his career because he can't do the things he needs to do as a starter consistently. And that's where a lot of these guys.
Could he learn and improve to be that, Mike? Could he, he's still young.
He's still young. There's a chance, but I think he's just going to settle in as that journeyman backup. Okay. I don't think he's ever going to be the guy. He's going to be like a Charlie Batch type role. He'll sit there and come in, play a game or two. But anything after that, it's going to be too much.
And again, Ben DiNucci and Jarrett Stidham. So, Zach Wilson better step up and do something because you don't want to lose your starting job to one of them two guys.
No. And Denver picks 12th overall. And will they do something stupid? Will they draft like a Bo Nix, a Michael Penix? Will they move up to try and get J.J. McCarthy and have these four battle it out for see who their starter is? It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the draft.
You know, if they can trade up, I would do it because, again, if you're looking to be competitive, this quarterback room is pretty rough. I mean,
it's rough room, but like Darby said, they have a lot of holes on that offense, holes on that defense. They don't have a second round pick this year. Right? I think that was part of the Russell Wilson trade. So they don't have a lot of draft capital. They, if they're smart, I would hang out at 12, choose there, and maybe trade back at some of the picks. But this team,
You know, the thing about Denver, though, they were so bad to start, but the second half of the season, they won a whole shitload of games. They almost made the playoffs. So just makes you wonder how far off it is. You know, what's at stake? You know, who was responsible on both ends of that? Who's responsible for them being so bad? And then who was responsible for them turning it around? You know, and if it comes down to any of those answers being Russell Wilson, you know, they screwed themselves. But if you could get in and figure these things out, maybe, you know, get a decent draft. I don't know what they did in the offseason as far as free agency went and how that plays into it. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to identify this Denver Broncos team. I can't identify what they actually have going on.
They Derpy, you forgot they got Reynolds, your guy Reynolds.
Oh,
They
Reynolds.
did get Reynolds.
They got Reynolds, they got Courtland Sutton, they got rid of Jeudy, who wasn't that good.
I'm actually kind of disappointed that Derby didn't remember Reynolds.
I forgot, yeah. Because he texted me all depressed that they got I
Hey,
wanted
Ralph, good
Reynolds.
afternoon, sir. Ralph says Steelers are looking at Sam Hartman, quarterback of Notre Dame in the late rounds. I'd be totally on board for Sam Hartman in a late round pick. I mean, geez, well, if he even makes the roster as a third quarterback behind the two guys that we have, it'll be totally fine because I know this guy could play football. He has great football IQ. And he can sling the ball around, given the right opportunities. But you know, who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows?
He'll be there in there if they have what 2 6-round picks. He would be there at one of them. So,
yeah. And if
but
we're
I,
looking to go that way, I mean,
if they look to
because
go that
here's the
way,
thing: you don't know what we have going on beyond a year from now. We don't. We don't
exactly. Yeah,
really
we
have
don't.
any.
Yeah.
We don't have anything set in stone. So, also, Mike. Matt Ryan finally retiring after 15 seasons in the NFL, gets to the Super Bowl. Should have won
He
the Super Bowl.
should have won. Should have won.
Thanks for giving Brady another ring.
Unbelievable game.
Like
Unbelievable.
their offensive coordinator, he caught a terrible game. They're up 28-3. Run the ball. Just grind the clock out.
I you know, I would be so pissed off if I was an Atlanta fan.
Yep.
If your team listen, this team has no Super Bowl wins. They were there one other time. They lost to Denver in 98. If they would go and win the Super Bowl, it would be the biggest thing ever to that town and their football team. The fact that they blew that, I don't know, what was it? 28 to, I don't even
28
remember.
to 3. The
28
three.
to 3 in the third quarter, and they lose. I would be so pissed. That's a Neil O'Donnell moment for the Atlanta Falcons. It really is.
Wasn't Shanahan their coordinator? Kyle Shanahan, I think he was their offensive coordinator because he blew
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Super Bowl, then he blows this last one with the 49ers. So yeah.
Yeah.
28 to 3, that's like a Bill Cowher special. You just hand the ball off. You
You're
just
right.
grind it out.
You almost have to try to lose that kind of game. You really do.
Yeah, because they kept passing and passing and passing and passing. No. No,
Which was
like,
their identity, but that killed him. You know, like
yeah.
when somebody say you live by the sword, you die
You
by
die
the
by,
sword.
yeah. You
That's
got,
exactly what happened.
you have to be able to willing to adapt to the situation, and they didn't. And Matt Ryan, don't know.
If
I've been up and down my feelings on Matt Ryan. Like, he'll have games that just blow me away. Then he has other ones like, oh, and he doesn't impress me. I don't know. He was a damn good quarterback.
I think overall, collectively, when you look at his numbers at the end of his career, he's gonna have a successful career.
Yeah, he had a hell of a career.
You know, showing up in the Super Bowl, that's something. Because again, a lot of these Super Bowls, as we mentioned, first time participants who lose, they don't make it back. You know, so he kind of falls into that category of Ralph says Dan Quinn was the
Yeah, I
head
knew he
coach of
was the
Atlanta.
head coach, but
Yeah, he was the
wasn't
coach,
Shanahan. I
the
want to say Kyle
coordinator.
Shanahan was their coordinator,
Yeah.
I think. I
But
could be mistaken.
you know what, another thing that does I gotta give him credit for, you know, just until last season, he stuck it out with Atlanta.
He
He,
did.
you know, I mean, that team went through terrible years. They went through all right years, but he stuck it out with Atlanta. He was somewhere where he was comfortable with one of the receivers that he had for a long time, and he was able to put numbers out. And you know, at the end of the day, he had a good career.
I
Not
think he's
you
a
know.
borderline Hall of Famer.
Right.
Because like the numbers would say he's a Hall of Famer, but you have to realize like the era now that we play in, of course he's gonna have better numbers than people like Marino and Bradshaw and Staubach because you just throw the ball more. But to me, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. If he makes it in, I'd have no problem with it. If he doesn't make it in, I can understand the argument for it.
Speaking of running the ball, Mike, you
Yes.
mentioned if they were able to run the ball, they could have won that football game. I seen this earlier. Do you think, buy or sell, the Steelers lead the league in rushing attempts this coming season? with the new offensive coordinator, the two running backs they have, the way they're kind of building this team. Does the Steelers lead the league in rushing attempts this coming season, buy or sell?
I'm gonna sell, but it's gonna be damn close. I'm looking at
Baltimore.
Baltimore with Lamar and King Henry in the backfield. I'm looking at that team right there.
What about you, Derby? You buy or sell? The Steelers have the most rushing attempts in the NFL this coming season. Again, you know, the new offensive coordinator. They're building this offense to be, you know, not run all the time, not an old style Steelers, but it's you know, somewhat similar to where they're going to be running the ball, and it's going to come down to the running backs, which we have two very good running backs. What do you think, Derpy? Do they lead the league?
I think with Arthur Smith, we do.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And like with the receiver room that we have, we might have to lead the league in rushing.
Well, there's still a lot of time. I'm not sold that they're not going to make a move before the draft, like, or on draft day. If this goes straight through the draft, uneventful, we make our picks, go home, and you know, call it a day, I'll be very surprised. I'm looking for something to come from Omar Khan's sleeve. He seems like he might have something up his sleeve. The way that him and Tomlin came out talking yesterday, I got a feeling, Mike, that they're playing down everything. You have to do, but they're doing it really well, and there's been nothing to indicate that they would go this particular route and not do anything.
Yeah, you can't come out and go, oh, we're definitely drafting center first round. Right. So now everyone knows, oh shit, if we want to get one of these guys, we're going to trade ahead of Pittsburgh. They're not going to do something stupid like that,
right?
So, but it also wouldn't surprise me. They've been looking at all these tackles, talking to the guards. Receiver. It's first round caliber is sitting right there. I can see them taking that receiver and just totally, you know, changing the expectations of the fans and the media here in Pittsburgh of what we thought this team would do. I can see them going off script, taking receiver round one.
And there's always the I guess we do have a better quarterback situation. I guess we do have an improved line. And I was just going to say, you just don't know if this receiver is going to, you know, he could come to the NFL and he might not adjust well.
Exactly.
He might not be able to run routes. He might not be able to, you know, we just automatically assume that we go get one of these first round receivers. It's going to fix everything.
Yeah. And like outside of like in the top part of the draft, outside of Marvin Harrison and Roma Jones, like those are the two best route runners, especially Rome. He might be the best route runner in the draft. And that's what we need opposite George Pickens, someone who can be the guy to do all the routes, where George, his route tree still needs work. His route running ability still needs work, where, you know, he's a great deep threat, but you don't want to get a guy next to him in this draft that needs to work on route running as well. So
I agree.
It's going to be rough.
Corey Trice, Mike. I want to see Corey. And here's the thing. I can't even say I want to see him play better because we never even
see him play.
I just want to see him play. And maybe he can't stay healthy. Maybe he can. I don't know. We got to see him. I totally have that feel that I had with Calvin Austin III last year after not getting to see him through his entire rookie year. I'm ready. I need to see me some Corey Trice Jr. to see what he got, Mike.
Me too. That's why I think in one of our first four picks in the first three rounds, cornerback has to be one of them because you can't count on him. You know, this is why he fell to the seventh round. You know, he was injury prone and gets injured right away. Plus, I think we need someone who can play inside nickel or that nickel corner role, that Mike Hilton role. That's why
I am seeing this morning, Mike, that Shannon Sullivan, there's a good chance that we could have him back in the secondaries as well this year.
I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I want, you know, someone younger who can, you know, hopefully potentially be better than Shannon Sullivan.
Yeah.
That's why, we're reading a lot about Max Milton out of Rutgers. He's played outside corner, inside corner. He's the kind of guy that can play inside for a year. Then if we lose Dante Jackson, he can bounce to the outside.
Right. So there you go, guys. We're almost there. I can't wait, Mike. Tomorrow is NFL draft eve.
Oh, Christmas Eve, baby. That's
right.
Oh.
As long as you show up here with a big tray of cookies, everything will be fine.
I'll show up with it. I probably won't eat too many of the cookies.
That's all right. I'll eat
them. That's all right. You know, I'll hold off on them.
Kirby, what were you saying?
I said, let Omar cook.
Let Omar cook.
Yeah. Like right now, you know, in the draft so far, I've nothing to complain about the way he handled last year's draft. I thought he handled it masterfully. You know, you take Trice and what Spencer, that was the guy, I think, Spencer Anderson.
Yeah.
You take those. Those are your typical seventh round picks.
Right.
Guys that show flashes and see if you can get something out of them. I have no problem with those picks. And then all the other ones have worked out well. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year.
Yeah, I am too. It's going to be a lot of fun. And again, there's no indication that it's not going to be any fun. Everything that he's done so far has been exciting. He's certainly, you know, creating a new atmosphere, a new way of thinking, a new standard in Pittsburgh. And I think that a lot of people can agree that that's been something that's been needed for quite some time. Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with the way that we used to do things. It's just got outdated.
It got stale.
While other people move forward, we sat on our hands. So I'm glad to see that we are participating in trying to improve our team the way that everybody else around us does, who then go on to be successful while we continue to run in place, trying to run it our old way. Yeah. So this is encouraging, Mike and Derpy. Mike, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website?
TheTwoDumbYinzers.com. Head on over there. We got links to Ryan and I's social media. We got the merchandise store over there. Get your Two Dumb Yinzers merch. And we got the blog over there. And there will be a new one right up before the draft.
Go check it out, everybody. That's www.thetwodumbyinzers.com. Again, that's www.thetwodumbyinzers.com. I got a lot of cool stuff over there, as he said, as he mentioned. I would recommend going and checking that out. All right, guys, today's trivia question is going to be a draft question. This is a draft trivia question. Guys, I'll give you choices. So don't jump on the answer. Wait a moment, and then I'll give you some choices. All right, Mike, you ready?
Ready.
Derpy?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Which one was not a third round draft pick? I guess I'll give you the answers up top. Which one was not a third round draft pick, guys? I'm going to give you four names, and you got to tell me which one was not a third round draft pick. Here we go. A, Travis Kelce. B, Joe Montana. C, Russell Wilson. Or D, Dak Prescott. I need to know, of those four players, three of them are third round draft picks. One of them is not. And I need to know from you which one is not. Again, Travis Kelce, Joe Montana, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. Go ahead and think that over for a moment, guys. We are live. We're live 5 days a week, every day, right here, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the show that we do every day live, the brand new one, we upload it over on Spotify in podcast form at 8 o'clock p.m. If you don't get a chance to watch the show, or maybe you prefer listening to the show. Maybe you're at the store. Maybe you're in the gym putting your earbuds. You could always listen to the brand new Two Dumb Yinzers show over on Spotify. Again, the brand new episode goes up every day at 8 o'clock. Check it out. All right, guys, the question of the day is this. It's a draft trivia question. Which one of these are not a third round draft pick? I'm going to give you four names. Three of them are third round draft picks. One of them is not a third round draft pick. P on the board says Dak. I do want to say, hey, P, how you doing? Your choices are this: Travis Kelce, Joe Montana, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. One of these four gentlemen were not a third round draft pick. Derpy, let me start with you today. Which one of these four football players from the NFL was not a third round draft pick? Kelce, Montana, Wilson, Prescott. P on the board says Dak Prescott.
This is a tough one. I'm going to have to agree with P.
Prescott?
Yes.
Any particular reason you went with that pick?
Because I have no idea what the answer would be.
Okay. No,
that's as honest as I'm going to put it.
That's good enough
fair
for
enough,
me.
Fair enough.
Mike, which one of these quarterbacks was not a third round pick? There's four guys.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, Joe Montana, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. Both Derpy and P chose Dak Prescott.
I'm going with Dak as well. I'm leaning towards Dak was the fourth round pick.
You guys are getting really good at these trivia games. Let's go check out the answer. Which one of these guys are not a third round draft pick? Travis Kelce, guys, was in fact a third round draft pick. Joe Montana was a third round draft pick. Russell Wilson, we all know, third round draft pick. And yes, Dak Prescott was a fourth round draft pick, guys. Oh. That is the answer. 2 days in a row, everybody gets it right. Dak Prescott is the answer. Good job, guys.
I'm glad Pete showed up and said Dak, because that was a toss-up between him and Russ for me. I knew one was a fourth rounder. I just couldn't remember which.
Thank you, Pete.
You knew that Joe Montana was a third rounder?
Yep, I knew Joe. I knew Travis. It was the other two. I knew one was a fourth. I just couldn't remember who.
All right. Good job, guys. That is the trivia question of the day. Of course, it was draft, NFL draft trivia, because the draft is coming up here, guys, in a little over 2 days. Super excited. Cannot wait to see who the Steelers draft at that number 20 spot. Then again, they come back on Friday and draft at, what, 53? Mike, is that their second round
51,
pick?
51.
51. And 3 and 4, rounds 2 and 3 will both be on Friday, and then 4 through 7 will finish up on Saturday. So, guys, this you know, this is going to tell a lot about how the Steelers are going to play moving forward.
Yeah.
They need these offensive linemen. They need a center. They need a tackle. They absolutely need a wide receiver.
Yep.
So this is big. A lot of people don't realize how big.
Yeah. Defensive line depth they need. They need, you know, they need spelled everywhere. They need a guy.
They need. Yeah, right.
Whether it's like a day one starter or someone who can start next year.
I do want to say thank you, everybody, for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you. As always, we wouldn't do it without you. I do want to say thank you to everybody on the board. As always, you people always, always help us keep things interesting here on the show. Mike, anything before we get ready to take off?
I literally have nothing. I know we have like 4 minutes left in the show, and I can't think of a single thing that's popping into my head right now we'll talk about.
We'll go to Derby, and we'll come back to you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to think here.
Derby, I got a bone to pick with you.
Something good.
Well, like you know, yesterday you wanted to buy Caitlin Clark's pubes.
Yeah.
I think we have to have a talk.
Yeah, yeah. Like a talk, an intervention, something.
Yeah. I gotta get inside of your head. I gotta figure out what's going on in this.
Is this like a fetish or?
I can't believe that's what he came. That was what.
You're just rolling with the punches.
All right.
Yes.
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I accept that. We still have to talk.
We got to, that's a big time, Derpy. We need to hold an intervention, but
absolutely. Mine is this. Yesterday was about the Kyles. Today, Norwin High School here in the Pittsburgh region.
I did not
Pennsylvania,
see
this. Norwin High School is graduating 11 sets of twins.
What?
Next month. When their high school graduates next at the end of next month, they're graduating 11 sets of twins at Norwin High School. Isn't that crazy?
That's cool.
I don't know.
I've heard it all now.
I don't know if I've even known 11 sets of twins in my whole life.
No, that's insane. Then and I wonder, like, how many of them are going to be like high school sweethearts that go off, get married, and have kids, and they're probably going to have twins too because you have a higher percent chance if you're a twin of having twins.
And I want to know that how many other twins they have in at school. They have 11 sets of twins in their graduating class.
Yeah, well, what's in the classes coming up behind them?
And what are they feeding them kids?
What's in the water over there?
Jeez, oh man.
That's
Norwin
nuts.
High School. Norwin High School, everybody, is graduating 11 sets of twins.
That's nuts. I saw like a Twitter comment. It was like someone's like, "Yeah, my twin has me saved as spare parts in their phone." Which I think if I had a twin, they would their contact info would be spare parts.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah,
and that's crazy.
That's nuts. 11 sets of twins.
We had one set, and they didn't even look anything alike. They were two guys.
Yeah, we had We had one in my class, they were identical, and then behind us it was sisters, and they were fraternal twins. Like one was blonde haired, blue eyes, one had brown and green eyes. Like you
Identical ones that
can't.
freak me out.
Especially when they
Yeah, you know,
still
and
dress the same as they get older.
right. But usually one of them
Exactly
has
the
usually one of them has like one thing. Like there's always that one thing, then you have to like look for it every time you see them to see which one it is. You know, like a little tiny thing beside her eye or something,
I
you know?
wonder like how many twins parents have like confused which one is which, and now like, oh, here's little baby A, here's baby B. They get bath time, playtime. Like, oh crap, which one's which? Now
And
the
you
rest of
never
your
figure
life,
it out
they
ever.
never figure it out. Or like every few years they kind of get them back on track and then they're getting confused again and then they're screwed. Yeah. That's why you got a
I don't have
tattoo.
a.
Yeah, that's why you got a tattoo one and two behind their ears.
I certainly don't have the capacity to handle
I'd go nuts.
that. Guys, anything else, Mike?
We're under 56 hours, baby.
All right, Derpy.
Let Omar cook.
All right. I do want to say again, thank you for checking us out. We will be back tomorrow at the same time to do it all over again. For Derpy, Mike in the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, myself, the two dumb yinzers, everybody have a great, great Tuesday. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, CP.
Oh, no.